As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
So the reason that we delayed this podcast till Tuesday was specifically because of your great idea, and I'm looking at you now. And the great idea was not because I was in Dallas and it was a little bit tiring, but you said, hey, Martin Luther King Day Monday, 13 games to be played. We'll probably get more to talk about on Tuesday. And we do. We heard a lot, too, on Monday, especially with Jim Rutherford in Vancouver.
That was definitely worth waiting for
That
sure.
was worth waiting for. So we'll get into that.
Also, just to clarify, though, it was partly because holiday, but it's also because you had a very fun time in Dallas.
Right.
So we should probably mention that just for clarification. There's nothing wrong with that.
I was
it's
trying
wonderful.
To put more of the emphasis on you.
But also, yeah. we'll look at the whole picture.
The whole picture.
You had a good time, and that's good. I'm glad you did.
The whole picture. Back safe and sound. And this is Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. Follow us on Twitter at RyanPayne75, at Victoria Matiash. Vic, of course, does great work with one of the major news talk stations in Toronto, ESPN Fantasy. There's nobody better. Check it out, and we'll get into her Fantasy 7 to end the show, as we always do. I came back from Dallas, did my show, SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. The Hot Stove from there, they treated us terrifically. Jim Neal, Brad Alberts were on. It was just, they were consummate professionals, the whole team.
You guys put together a banger of a show, too, to give you credit. It was great.
Appreciate that. And it was great. It was a fun game. And 6-2, mm-hmm. 6-2 Dallas. I looked at Daryl Sutter when it was 6-3. 6-4, 6-5, watch out. And he never looks happy, but he didn't even move. He was just, really?
Stoic.
Is this actually going to happen? And they ended up winning. But great game, nonetheless.
Dallas came back in it. I actually turned this was a Saturday afternoon matinee, the only Saturday afternoon matinee. And I turned it off after the second period because Calgary was steamrolling the Stars at the time. And the Stars came back and gave a show to the hometown fans, which was nice.
Yeah, they
still lost, but at least it was entertaining.
And Pete DeBoer left the goalie in the whole time, did not take him out. And I thought, okay, is it going to be after 5? Is it going to be after 4? But he didn't. I thought that was a gutsy thing. I thought after the second he was going to pull him, but he didn't. Anyway.
Well, ask Scott Wedgwood how he feels about that.
I know. He didn't look too bad. Anyway, yeah, who knows? Okay, enough of that. That was just one of the games, and that was part of the weekend. Coming up the show, so much to talk about the Kraken. We'll talk about Vegas, the Avalanche. We'll mention Alex Ovechkin, PK Subban, the Penguins, Steven Stamkos. The Flyers got some audio as well, not just with John Tortorella, but also some Vancouver Canucks. Boy, I don't know what's happening. We do know what's happening in Vancouver.
We're saving that for a couple segments from now.
Yeah, we're going to drop the clink hammer on the Canucks, Arizona, different things like that. And again, we'll look to the week to come as well. But let's get going. We could have taken our pick as to what our lead could be, but we're going to go east-west this show. So we're going to take a look at the week that was in the east, and then we're going to go to the Western Conference. Got to begin with the Devils again. Got to begin with the Devils. Every time I think that this team may be slipping just a bit, and I may be changing my mentality of, oh, this team is guaranteed to make the postseason. I said this about a month and a half ago, but then it changed a bit because they were dropping ground a tiny bit. Carolina was moving up. Other teams in the division were showing signs of moving up.
Now they've won 6 in a row.
Now they won 6 in a row.
They have 2 regulation losses at home. I didn't want to talk about them this week because we talk about the Devils seemingly every week, and I'm like, this is becoming a little bit boring. But you can't not.
Can't, you,
two regulation losses at home, six in a row now. Everybody's firing on all cylinders. They're getting a lot more support now. It's not just the Jack Hughes show, because it can't be. You need contributions from Jesper Brad and from Tatar and from these other supporting candidates. They're getting good, great goaltending from Vitek Vanacek, which they need as well. Yep. And they're firing on all cylinders. I think maybe they're not getting the attention, not from us necessarily, but from the hockey media family altogether. It's almost an afterthought. The Devils won again. The Devils won again,
right.
Especially when they're on the road. They have to figure out how to enjoy more success at home, though, because otherwise these numbers are going to work themselves. They're going to start losing on the road just
because they
will. And it doesn't make any sense to be successful, more successful away from your own barn. That doesn't sit right with me. So I think that's just going to be, they're going to come back to the mean a little bit.
Unless they make some sort of deal with the NHL that when the postseason begins, all seven games, if it goes seven away from home.
They don't have any home ice advantage at all. You're absolutely right, though. They've actually, and never mind, I'm taking into account the loser points for losing in overtime, they have lost more at home than they've won, and yet they remain second in the Metropolitan Division.
I saw this, 18-2-1, so winning percentage of .881. Best ever home record at the end of a season, 82-game season, was the 05-06
No, you mean
wins.
Away. They're 18-2-1
away. Away, on the road, yes.
Right.
But best ever away record, 05-06 wins, 31-7-3.
So if they only lose four more, so we're not looking at the percentage, but just the number of losses. If they only win four, if they only lose four more in regulation, they'll have the record. That's impressive.
Essentially,
and we're halfway through the season, so they're on pace
for it.
I still think they're going to start to accumulate some losses on the road. But again, you know what? You can't dismiss them. And the support, the scoring support they're getting throughout the lineup now is more extensive than it was earlier, and that's helping a lot.
You mentioned Jack Hughes. It can't always be Jack Hughes, but Jack Hughes, 54 points, most in Devils history through 43 games. 18 multiple point games this season.
8 goals in his last 7.
Incredible. The Flyers.
How about them Flyers?
Are we going to talk about John Tortorella, please, again? We can just repeat all my discussion points of Tortorella that we've done
in
the last...
But he gives us new material every week.
Does it, though? It does, but it's the same recycled material.
I don't know. The iPod thing is new. First of all, credit to the Flyers.
Yes, credit.
Because they won a bunch in a row before they hit the wall against the Bruins. That was pretty nasty on Monday. But before then, they enjoyed a great deal of success. And you want to credit... John Tortorella basically threw all the iPods away from the bench. I guess it was a distraction, but this became a news story in the NHL last week, but they were enjoying some success. So then he was asked by a reporter about why would you care about what other people, you're being judged left, right, and center by members of the media and everybody, the hockey fandom in general. Do you care about that? And he responded.
I don't give a flying shit how I'm perceived. I really don't, because it is a, it's my job to coach the team. And if I'm in the business to try to make everybody happy and be perceived as whatever you want to perceive, I don't know. That's a tough way to live. I really don't pay too much attention to it. And I'm saying that respectfully. You have a right to make a judgment. Everybody does. But how much I pay attention to it is very little. And because I'm kind of locked in what I think is best for the team, and I have to make those calls. Now, if my boss feels I'm not making the right calls, that's when you lose your job. But I owe my whole process of thinking to the players, and I think this is the right thing for our group.
And so that audio is new material. That audio is, and you know what? You and I said before we started this that he's not wrong, correct?
Right.
He's not wrong. A lot of these things that he says he's not wrong with. But I go back to my whole thing about, this is the way the NHL is.
He's not wrong in a sense that he's not accountable to us. He's accountable to his bosses.
Right.
He's absolutely right about that.
Yeah,
and he's doing it his way. You know, he can sing Frank Sinatra any day he wants. He's doing it his way, and he's going to either fall by his own sword or he's going to triumph holding it up in the air. And I actually like him for that. I do. I know you don't. I know you're a bit of an anti-torts guy.
Not to take away, it's just because I just don't think he's the type of person, the league isn't changing. The iPad thing isn't changing.
You don't think he's evolving, right?
That's the only thing. Outside of that, a lot of things he says aren't wrong. They're not wrong. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care. But to your point, Philly has been on a bit of a run.
Until lately. Boston on Monday.
Yeah.
that was ugly,
six,
man.
nothing. Yeah. Hey, how about this? Right. crashing back down to earth. And then didn't they another game they lost to, I think it was 6-2 to Toronto as well. So a couple of the losses in the last number of games.
You know what's interesting, though? That was last week.
Right.
And that loss to Toronto, they weren't bad in. I know it sounds funny when you look at the score, but not every score is equal.
Don't indicate exactly.
And they were in that game, yeah. As lopsided as the numbers look, they were in that game. They played some better hockey of late. I mean, Travis Konecny is just he's playing in an otherworldly manner right now.
Unbelievable.
And that deserves all the credit in the world. Yeah. And I think the goaltending has been pretty good again up until Boston on Monday. So they deserve a lot of credit for that. They're not a playoff team. They're not going to make the postseason. John Tortorella probably survives the season, I would guess.
Oh, he does. Absolutely, he does.
And they need to look ahead to next year and hopefully get some healthy bodies back. And Sean Couturier and Cam Atkinson, who knows what's going on with those two.
Yeah.
So, and look ahead. But you know what? Flyers fans care. You string together some wins for your core, and everybody's a little bit happier.
John Tortorella is not going anywhere. He knows he has the confidence in the contract. He knows.
He gets the year.
He gets it. So he knows he's fine.
I don't
fine.
Know if he gets next year. I don't know.
I think he does. I think he does. I really do. And this is going to have nothing to do, say the Flyers go on the lot. What are we at? 2.5 months away, whatever it is, till the end of the season?
Yeah, about that.
Really? Okay, about that. So if they all of a sudden go on an amazing run, great. Then more than likely he will stay. But even if they don't, if they kind of stay where they're at, I think he'll be back. I really do. There's only going to be one coach, if one. I told you this the other week that I don't think any coaches are going to be fired. But after yesterday's news conference in Vancouver, could be at least one. But that'll be it. They're not going to do anything in Pittsburgh. They're not doing anything right now in Pittsburgh. This is tough to see. We were going into this season, a lot of us were looking at the Capitals and the Penguins, the older teams in the league, and Washington weathered the storm. The storm being some key guys out. Oshie out, Backstrom out, Tom Wilson out, and now they're all back. This team's playing well. The Penguins seem to go on a run, Vic, where they look great. And then all of a sudden it disappears. It's very, it doesn't make much sense to me. And it's not one person. It's not one thing. But you don't see this happen too much with good teams, that it's not just kind of a gray thing where they may lose one or two. They look awful for 2 weeks and then they look great for 2 weeks.
But it's been a rough start to 2023.
They had
a couple of wins. I'm looking at when they beat the Coyotes, and then on Monday they beat the Ducks.
That's not a win against the Ducks.
The Ducks is even worse. They beat it. They needed overtime to beat the Ducks, the worst road team in the league. They can't. The Ducks can't win on the road. And they still needed overtime to beat them. Something is not great right now. Now, we do have good news on the defensive front because it has hurt. First of all, it sounds like Tristan Jarry is not too long for coming back.
Which is great. Yeah.
Casey DeSmith has really struggled in net for them. And on top of that, I don't know how Jeff Petrie is recovering, but we do hear that Chris Letang is returning again. I hate this guy. He's one of my favorite players in the league, and just everything he's had to deal with health-wise and injury-wise, it just drives me bananas. But he sustained another injury unrelated to the stroke issues he had earlier in the season, and now it sounds like he's coming back again. If they can keep Letang in the lineup for a couple of months, they're still in the conversation, but without him, they're a different team. Without Jeff Petrie, they're not as good either, but they really need, he's the heartbeat of that blue line and they need him in there.
Casey DeSmith said after they beat the Ducks in overtime, he said, if we didn't do that, there would have been something pretty bad. Not as in five.
It's really kicking the Ducks when they're down. Hey?
Oh my goodness.
If we couldn't beat them.
Yeah.
Woo!
Awful. Yeah. If you can't beat Anaheim, you stink.
Right.
Yeah, you're really bad.
Especially on the road. Anaheim cannot win on the road. They're awful.
But I'm with you with Chris Letang, too. You pull for him, whether it's health and physical and all that type of stuff. You really pull for the guy. And that's good news on the Penguins front of things. But if you look at the standings, you've got Pittsburgh. They're not out of this thing. 50 points, 4 points back at the Capitals. And between the Rangers and Pittsburgh, you have 7 points.
4 points back of the Capitals with 3 games in hand.
Yeah, 3 games
in hand. So they are actually in the driver's seat when you look at it that way.
And that's 6 points, 6 possible points that they have that Washington cannot get because they don't have those three.
I still don't think they do it. I think the top four in that division is just too strong to leapfrog. I do, but
the top three in the Atlantic division. I don't think there's a top four. I think there's a top three.
I agree with you on that. Right now, current day.
Yeah, current day. There's a top
three, and then there's everybody else that are shuffling about.
And last season, it was the top four. The Panthers were in that top four.
We're going to get to the Panthers.
Oh, of course we will.
We're going to get to the Panthers.
Bruins, Toronto, and Tampa.
Yep.
You know, we talked about, was it? It was before the Christmas break, I believe, Steven Stamkos was close to getting 500, right? Am I right with that?
I think I am.
I think I am.
We thought that he had a shot to break 500 the week before the Christmas break.
Okay, so I'm
but
right.
But he needed three, I believe, at that point.
He needed three.
You know, he has a shot.
Right.
But it's going to be a bit tough.
And this was when?
It's January 17th, folks, today. The moment that we are recording this is Tuesday, yeah. January 17th, and he remains a goal shy. So in that period, he has two. And that's very un-Steven Stamkos-like. Now, he has said all the right things, as you would expect a player of his caliber and character to do. He said, I don't care. We're winning, which they are. Yes. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's the wins. The goals are going to come. I'm going to get there eventually. And I mostly buy that. I think the priority is obviously for him. There's no team sport in the world that's more team-focused than hockey. They're less interested in being individuals than compared to the NBA, MLB, sure. NFL.
I would agree with that.
And I think he's a great leader and he is a great teammate. And the fact that the Lightning are winning, I think he's fine in general. I also call BS to some degree because of course he cares. Of course he wants to get it. He wants 500, but I think he also wants it to be done.
He does. And he's always been one to not want those accolades. He's always said the right things. They do mean something to him. So I'm going to be with you on the BS thing. It does mean something to him.
A little bit of BS.
This has been going on for Stammer. Just get one. You have $4.99. Is it going to take you longer to get one than? No, it's not. But my point is just find it. Tampa, you mentioned too, 8-2. 8-2 in the last 10. And they're only 2 points back at Toronto. Toronto has been about like a 500 team the last 10 games. So you never know. Want to talk about this too. One of the reasons why Tampa is moving up, 14 comeback wins. So they had 13 before the last one. The Devils.
Yeah, you were really excited about this topic.
I was because, I'm like, Vic, we got to talk comeback. Yeah, should have done the lead. But 14 comeback wins. You think about that. 14 times they came back. Even if you had 7 comeback wins, you take 7 extra points or whatever points it is, you're not where you're at for Tampa right now.
Speaks to confidence.
It does. It does.
Every time they're on the ice, they're not overwhelmed by being down. And they still realize they can, and they certainly have the talent. They have the goaltending, and they have the defense. Yeah. They have the scoring power. I mean, Nikita Kucherov, come on. It doesn't matter. Stamkos doesn't need to score again for the rest of the year. They're still going to be fine. So then they have the confidence to know that they can win each and every game. They can be down 3. They can be down 4. They can be down a pair. It doesn't matter. They're still in it.
Last Saturday, Alex Ovechkin, he got to 30 goals on a season. 17th time he's done that, tying him with Mike Gartner. That's the record. He's going to play again next season. We know.
And he's going to score 30
He's going to score 30, so he will hold the record. But just another. And Ovi cares about a lot of things. And say what you want about the 894 and 800 and Gordy and all this type of 50 goals, all that. There's something about consistency. 17 times, do you get at least 30 goals?
Longevity as well.
Unbelievable. And health.
Endurance.
The fact that he's been so healthy, knock on wood, for he's not had a major injury since he came into the NHL.
Not really.
He's built like that. He's just built like a truck.
Built like a barn, yeah.
He really is, right? And good on him. And good, too, on Mike Gartner. I loved watching him play. 708 goals total, 1,335 points. And you look at how many times that he hit 50. Only hit 50 one time, came close. He had 49, 1 year, 90-91, 48, another year, and 87-88, but he played a ton of years, and the guy could score.
I still think Mike Gartner, to this day, has not received the accolades he probably richly deserves.
I agree.
I know we talk about him, and he's earned tons of respect, and other players in the league speak glowingly of him at every opportunity, members of the media, but just in general, he doesn't, and I don't think he minds either, to be perfectly honest.
No, I don't think
honest,
so either.
But he doesn't get the accolades that I think that he... other players of equal, different accomplishments, but equal quality have received. So, I think he's fine with it.
Best mustaches ever in the National Hockey League. If you go on his NHL.com website, you see an old picture of him with Washington. Oh, my goodness. Vintage. Quickly, PK Subban, nice visit.
I really enjoyed watching that this past week. Montreal needed the boost, and they actually won the game after they hadn't won for a while. So they obviously provided him. He visited Montreal when Nashville was playing, and that timing was obvious for many reasons, played for both teams. And just everything he's done for that city, I enjoyed the way he spoke to the crowd. I appreciated the way the fans appreciated him back. The fact that he's tossed millions of dollars to the hospital there.
He's been incredible.
And people say, he makes too much of that. Yeah, well, you know what? You give $10 million to a hospital and you could talk about it too. And I don't care how much money he has. There's a lot of other people out there who have tons of cash who don't give much at all.
No.
So he doesn't have to. So he can make as much of it as he likes. I think he's great for the game. I'm sad that his career ended a little bit earlier than I would have liked. But I think still as an ambassador for the NHL and the sport in general, he's fantastic.
Last three seasons for him, 18 points, 19 points, 22 points. And for somebody who won the Norris in 13, and you look at the contract he signed, I thought one of the, I remember it to this day, after the entry-level contract came in, the big discussion was, are the Canadians going to give him a massive deal? Bergevin said, no, we'll do a two-year bridge deal. I remember it to this day, the two-year bridge, and people thought, how could you, you know the potential, so why aren't you trying to land him? He shone in those 2 years, then signed that massive contract after, but the skill just, he didn't have what he used to. He really,
He fell off a little bit of a cliff.
I wanted more like you, I'll say this, what he's done in giving back to the community, anywhere he's been, specifically Montreal, absolutely beautiful, so good on you, PK Subban. We'll step aside. We'll come back. We'll continue with the week that was. We'll talk about John Gibson, Vegas, Colorado Avalanche, the Kraken, and more. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
I am Victoria Matiash, and that is indeed Ryan Payton. And this is Pucks and Seven, where we look at the week that was. We also look at the week to come, and we talk about a whole bunch of other things. And I think we're going to move to the Western Conference now, because we've covered the Eastern.
There's not much happening in the West.
Nothing at all.
No.
How about them Kraken, Ryan? How about them Kraken?
I love how you intro that just to me. How about the Kraken? It's like, throw me a pass. Okay, let me run and see where I end up to. This is a great story. You and I are in a disagreement. You don't think it's sustainable?
Well, let's first see what they're doing.
Okay. They're winning on the road.
A lot.
They're winning on the road. They beat Boston in Boston. That was an incredible win. All the streak that they had was amazing, all those seven games on the road. And the numbers were phenomenal. I have them here. The game against Chicago, they scored 6 goals in the first 7 shots. In the first 13 minutes and 11 seconds. Now, I know Chicago. I get it.
I think that's more of a reflection on the Blackhawks than the Kraken.
But come on. I'm impressive. Sorry.
It's still impressive.
It is impressive. You should not be that bad where you give up 6 goals and 7 shots in 13 minutes. I don't care. If you're Chicago, if you are Anaheim, if you're
Arizona.
You shouldn't
be that bad.
You shouldn't
be. But they are, in fact, that bad.
I'm trying to show love. 8 goals, by the way. So this is an astounding stat. 8 goals for the fourth time this season that the Seattle Kraken have scored. So they can score. And then we were joking that they ended up losing that streak. How?
Because they went back home. Right. Of course they did. So they win 7 on the road, which is actually an NHL record.
Right.
I had not known that. So that was rather interesting. And then just to, you know, to fit the script perfectly, they go back home for a one-off, one game before they hit the road again, and they lose
thumped.
To Tampa Bay.
Thumped.
Well, not thumped, but they lost resoundingly. So.
Right. And it was bound to happen. It was bound to happen. The show I do on the weekend, I'll plug it again. It's The Hot Stove and Sean Hutchin. We have Sean Hutchin on, who does work for Boston for the fourth period. And he said that out of all the teams that have come into Boston this season, he's gone every home game. Out of all the teams that have come into Boston, well, not many win. But the point is, Seattle is the fastest team that he has seen. Out of all the
teams.
That's
impressive. They are flying right now. Yeah. I'll definitely give them that.
I would not have even put them in the, number one, I don't think, oh, look at that team. They're fast. I see players that are fast. But for him to say the whole unit as a group is very quick.
I think they're tuned in right now. I agree. Yeah. Also, what are you going to say when somebody waltzes into your own building and beats the team that you cover
right.
for the first time in regulation at home?
Right.
You're going to be complimentary. I'm not saying that Sean isn't right. I think he is. And I think the Kraken are flying right now. But I also look at, listen, I'm rooting for them. I want them to make the postseason. I think it's a great story. I love seeing teams that come together without insane talent. It takes nothing away from Matty Beniers or the rest of them, but there isn't, there's no McDavid, there's no Austin Matthews, there's no Kucherov, they're a group. Okay. It's a combined talented
and
group.
I
like that. It's fun. I don't think it's sustainable. Daniel Sprong is not a 40 goal scorer. Jeremy McCann is not a 50 goal scorer, but they're on those paces right now. And that's why they're winning games. It's amazing. It's awesome. I'm rooting for them. I think they're going to hit the skids shortly. Now they have a 4-game home stretch coming up shortly.
Right.
They're not good at home.
Nope. They're going to go 0-4.
So sorry for Kraken.
They're
fans.
Done. Yeah.
They're like applauding them. You're doing so awesome out there. Then they buy their tickets, buy their sweaters, go and sit in the stands and then their team loses. So it's they have to start winning more at home because they are going to fall down to earth on the road. They will. But I am rooting for them. I just I think it's all peak Seattle right now.
All right. You think the Kings are still in this thing, though, in the Pacific? Do you think Edmonton's going to
get
won three in a row? Calgary?
I think Calgary is.
All right. So then you've got more teams behind them that'll supersede Seattle at some point, and then Seattle will drop out of the top
three. I'm not even necessarily saying that they're not making the playoffs. I'm not saying that. Okay. I'm saying that this is not sustainable. They are going to come back down to earth.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see.
We will see.
We'll see about that. Writing it down right now. Anyway, the other week when we did this, we talked about that ridiculous game between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Rangers.
This was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
that's right.
Igor Shesterkin and Andrei Vasilevskiy turning aside, 800 shots? I think something like
867. It was a 2-1 game. Yeah. It was incredible. Anybody who says that a 2-1 game can't be incredibly entertaining needed to watch this one, because it certainly was.
Dallas, the Rangers.
What is it?
You're speechless almost.
The Rangers are giving us some really fantastic hockey games, which aren't necessarily always high scoring. I love these games. And we had one of those last week. It was such a banger. I was riveted from beginning to end. I didn't care who won because I don't have a horse in the race. But between Dallas and the Rangers, and these are two teams we are going to be talking about in the postseason, probably past the first round as
well.
Absolutely. And it was such an impressive performance. It was one of the highlight games of the week for me, for sure. And like what you brought up, now we need to keep a look on, because we're sticking with the West right now. We need to keep watch of the battle in the Central between the Dallas Stars, who have been playing really well, and those Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, yeah. The Jets, I said this, I think, to you, and I've said this a lot of times over the course of the show, that I'm very impressed, not just for the way that they're playing, but because of all that they went through in the offseason. That's what I'm really impressed with, because they could have come out of training camp and they could have been miserable. A lot of them were miserable.
Oh, Blake Wheeler had every right to be sour after being stripped of the
seat. Right at all.
Nobody would have blamed him at all.
Good for Rick Bonus. Good for Hellebuck. We talked last week, but the Hellebuck is on a run, and they're fun to watch. Those two teams. So going into Monday, they're tied atop with 59 points. And this, you're going to love this. So Winnipeg has 29 wins. Dallas has 26 wins, but they're tied with 59 points.
Don't get
points.
Me started on the loser point. Do not. No? I'm still impressed with Dallas.
Okay. Okay.
But I'm more impressed with Winnipeg because they don't have the loser points.
That's right. Every team in that division, the top six, are on a bit of a mini run. And then there's Arizona. They've dropped 9 straight, but we'll talk about Arizona later on. Winnipeg and Dallas, to me, and I saw Dallas. I got to see them in person. They play a quick game. They do. Winnipeg plays a fast game.
They're known for their speed.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they really are. And anyway, the game you were talking about, Jake Oettinger was dynamite. Shesterkin was doing his Shesterkin like self and all that. The Rangers too. I know we went from east to west, but watch out for New York.
Again,
also,
I think they're flying. Imagine you're playing in Manhattan and you're flying under the radar a little bit,
right.
But they aren't receiving as much attention that I think they might otherwise, but they're winning hockey games. That's for sure.
John Gibson.
Let me present this to you.
Okay.
This is very important.
Yes.
The Anaheim Ducks aren't good. We all know that. Okay.
No.
They're not going anywhere, and they're not going anywhere very, very, very quickly. John Gibson is a good goaltender. John Gibson has started 13 games on the road this season. How many has he won? Of 13 starts, how many has he won?
Well, I know, but
he's won zero.
I wanted you to say that.
I do. I earned that statement.
You earned that.
He has won zero of 13. He's won a few at home.
Uh-huh.
The Anaheim Ducks have only won four on the road altogether, but John Gibson, their number one netminder, has not won a single one of them. I watched them play Pittsburgh on Monday night, and I thought, this might be it. They did not win. They got to overtime, but they did not win.
That's very odd.
I just think it's extremely odd.
Let me run these numbers by you, because I looked at them. The home record that he has, obviously his wins, but on the road, as you said, he has none. But at home, his goals against is 4.01. And this is also a reflection of the team that he plays behind.
We're not laying
dreadful.
This on John Gibson.
No.
I just think the numbers are weird.
But I just wanted to see this, because I thought that these would be a lot different. So home goals against 4.01, let's say 4.
Yeah.
Save percentage, .897.
Okay.
So the away, 4.32. I thought it would maybe be a bit more. And save percentage, .891. So the gap is not that much. When you look at a record,
I think
4.32
stinks pretty It's pretty smelly.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah. It's awful. But I was thinking .891 right. save percentage, .897. So if you have not won in the role, but that is a pure reflection. And I'll say this again and again. John Gibson for so long has been behind the wrong team, and he would have won so many more games, more awards. He would have done so much more if he was on a better team.
Well, he's not dead, so he still has the opportunity to do so. He's not 39 years old. He still has years left in the NHL.
But he's still in Anaheim. Get out of Anaheim.
They need to move
him. Get out of Anaheim. If you love it there, you live, great. That's fine. But get out of Anaheim.
I don't know. Go to LA. It's like down the road, right? Yeah.
Jonathan Quick's going to retire at some point. He's not 20-something
years
old.
Look at us. We're matchmaking.
That's what we do. A new segment. New segment on Bucks and Seven. We make
love
matches.
Connections in the NHL.
Yeah. John Klingberg. What do you think about this?
They need to trade everybody. First of all, John Klingberg has been the biggest.
Hold on.
They are not trading Mason McTavish. They are not trading Trevor Zegras.
That's probably a better way to look at it. Who aren't they trading before?
I just said them.
So that's
they're not trading Trevor Zegras, and they're not trading Mason McTavish.
All right.
Probably not Troy Terry either, but really other than that, and the good kid, I don't have the team in front of me, the good promising kid on D who's he's injured right now. He's not going anywhere either. So, but the rest of it, I think everybody's up for grabs. The 1 year signing of John Klingberg, and it's probably the biggest disappointment, I would say, or certainly one of them.
One of, for
as
sure.
As a fantasy writer,
yeah.
My expectations were much higher. He has done absolutely nothing there. Yeah. I mean, he's never been a great defensive defender. Fine, but he's always been able to move the puck and contribute on offense, and he hasn't done that at all this year. So they're moving him. They actually basically said, we are trading John Klingberg, because why keep him? He's on a one-year deal, and he can go somewhere else and help somebody else out, because he needs to get out of there,
and they
need to get rid of him.
Yeah, he's gone. $7 million cap hit on the one-year deal he signed with the Ducks. Even when he signed with the Ducks, you thought, okay, he's not going to last the whole season.
He
wants to go to a contender, and he did have a full no trade. That was until the 1st of January.
Yeah, he's still going to approve anything, though. He submitted the 10-team trade. It doesn't matter. They find a partner that's a contender. He's got his suitcase is already packed by the door. He is absolutely out of there. He doesn't want to play there either.
There were reports that Edmonton was chatting with Klingberg as well in the camp. And
that is such an Edmonton thing to do.
Things around.
That is such an Oiler thing to do. Now, mind you, Klingberg, all those years in Dallas, he was great.
Yeah, it was.
Contributed all the time. Again, as a fantasy writer, I love the guy.
300.
It's just been Jamie Drysdale.
That was
driving me bananas.
Yeah, I could tell. If people saw the body language, Vic was on a run, but she's also thinking, who's that guy?
He's one of the better prospects in that organization. So to forget his name was. Anyways, defenseman Jamie Drysdale isn't getting traded by the Anaheim Ducks either, probably, unless it's a hockey trade. So, but John Klingberg is out of there. Probably sooner rather than later. I don't think that's a deadline deal.
I would agree with that. I would agree. I mean, why not? Get rid of whoever you can soon, because if you don't, then they may be picked up by somebody else who is going on a run, but he's going to go to a contender, and he will help whoever that contender that he ends up going to.
He will.
Colorado, they have been injured. They've had some bad injuries. And of course, when you look at the Avalanche, defending Stanley Cup champions, you want them to be as good or right on the same level as they were a season ago, but they've had injuries. However, they're still a good hockey team. Vic.
They won two in a row, and they weren't. I mean, they lost to Chicago last week.
Some teams have to lose to Chicago. Not many.
Is that contractual, or where's that written?
Yeah, it's in section 43-A. 43-A, you must lose to a terrible team at least once.
Hey, Flames, it's your turn to give Chicago a win. Anyway, no, we do not believe a fix is in, but you're right. You're right. Here and there, Chicago's going to win some hockey games. So by extension, Chicago is going to beat some people, and Colorado Avalanche fell victim to them last week, but it was still tough to watch. They have won now two in a row. Man, they need Nichushkin back big time. I don't know what's going on with Gabriel Landeskog. They're missing him. And they need a second line center, Ryan, and that needs to come from somewhere else.
You know what? I'll tell you this, and I had this discussion over the week and even last week at some point. They were hoping to do that second line center by committee. I believe the organization basically said,
when does that work?
You and I weren't even part of that discussion, but we're on the same page even when we're not together. That was where it went to. It went to, where's that ever worked before? How has that worked on what team? And so you don't get it. So they took a massive gamble to replace Nazem Kadri. That's a massive gamble, and it hasn't worked out. And second, first line centers are certainly loved and wanted in the NHL. Second line centers are big. I dare to say a second line center is almost bigger than a first line center.
I'm not going to go quite that far, but okay. You look at the difference David Krejci is making this year to the Boston Bruins and how they looked without him last year, for sure. Because especially if you're going to, the opposition is going to throw out their best against your top line. So you need to have that support. And then when you have that second line center, who often also plays on the top power play because they're one of the bigger guns or one of the better puck movers, I should say.
Right.
So, but to actually, to think that you could move Nazem Kadri and replace him by committee, that just, it astounds me. I think they're probably learning now that's not going to jive. Well, they should. So we'll see what they do before the deadline. Colorado isn't out of it. They're in a playoff position right now.
No, they're not. They're not. So they lose, I think, 7 of 8 or 6 of 7, whatever it was, and then they won 2. And winning 2 is, for them right now, fine. 5 points back of Minnesota, who sit 3rd in that Central, and Colorado's tied in points. Boy, that's going to be a fun race. Nashville, St. Louis, Colorado, 46 to 47 points, 4 to 6 respectively, only 4 points.
That's
5
the race
back.
To me. Yeah. Colorado, Nashville is the race to me. I don't have St. Louis projected to make the postseason. That to me is the one to watch for sure.
Before we end this segment, our thoughts going out to the family and friends of Gino Ojek.
He was a big figure, figuratively and less figuratively, that we watched, certainly not growing up, because he played not that long ago. But Gino Ojek was definitely a huge heart off the ice, did so much for the community, and then was one of the tougher players on the ice, and passed away just in the last couple of days. He had a heart condition. We were all familiar with that. So this was not any type of shock. Still very, very sad. He was a young man, I believe 52 years old. And if you were a Canucks fan, particularly, I know he played elsewhere, but to me, he's a Canuck. If you're a Canucks fan, you'll remember all he did out there and also what he did in the community. And this is massive to represent the Indigenous community as he did as well. And he visited different areas and different communities all around Canada to speak to kids and convince them that they had a place in the National Hockey League or playing competitive hockey in general. Yep. To listen to Ethan Bear speak afterwards to it was really, I'm not going to quote him. I'm not going to get into it. Go on YouTube. Listen to Ethan Bear's comments after he got off the ice and he had heard that Gino had passed away, and really touching stuff. Again, very sad. He seemed like a tremendous man, and you don't hear a negative word about the guy.
Tough guy with a kind heart. That's what a lot of people said and will continue to say.
It seems
about
to be
him.
A formula, right? It seems like some a lot of them, not all of them,
no,
but
no,
a lot of
right.
the tougher guys on the ice are the softest.
And
off.
if they pass, even if they don't, you just see that they're very soft and they're delicate off the ice. On the ice, you don't want to get near them at all, even with 10 feet. 12 seasons, 8 in Vancouver, the Islanders, Philly, and Montreal as well.
Right. I forgot about Montreal. But he's a Canuck to me. So,
yeah, and you
condolences
mentioned
to everybody. He was
absolutely.
He was quite
absolutely.
A player.
Yeah, tough guy, kind heart, and he certainly will be missed. We'll step aside. We'll come back. Continue on Pucks and Seven. We will drop the clink hammer next. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. We'll be.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
And you can follow us on Twitter at RyanPayton75, at Victoria Matiash. And I should mention where you can also listen to us on all the available outlets for podcasts.
All the podcast places.
All the podcast places. And Google us as well. Also on the SiriusXM app, Stitcher.
That's a big one.
And Pandora.
I know a lot of people listen to us on the SiriusXM app.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Yeah, good choice. So we're available there and appreciate the listen. We'll get to the week to come in Vic's Fantasy 7 in the next segment as we do. But now this is that time. It's the time of the show where this happens.
Time now to drop the clink hammer.
Okay, so we have 3 topics in Drop the Clink Hammer. By the way, in honor of Robert Clinkhammer, who, I'm going to do one interesting stat every time we do this, during the 17-18 season, he was selected to represent Canada at the 2018 Winter Olympics. He had 2 assists, 6 games, and Canada won the bronze medal. That was in Pyeongchang. I did not know that he was
part of the Olympic
team.
We should also mention that Robert Clinkhammer is in no way associated with Pucks and Seven. We're just doing
this. Vic, yeah.
Anyway, please don't take it away from us, Mr. Clickhammer.
No, not at all. Not at all. We love him. We love the name, and we're incorporating that into
the
segment.
Honor of.
It sure is. In honor of.
But we are dropping the Clickhammer, and it's not a nice thing. You don't want to have the Clickhammer dropped upon yourself or your organization. And we're going to start with dropping it on the Flames, particularly the way that Calgary plays in overtime, particularly the way that they lose.
No, but they don't know how to play in overtime.
Often than not. Overtime.
Right. Nine times.
So it's interesting. I watch a lot of Flames games. I'm just fascinated with the team. I watch a lot of hockey in general, but I like the Flames. And it started to creep
on
me.
Hold on. What fascinates you about them?
I like their players. Okay. And I also just, after the summer's trade, massive trade between themselves and the Panthers, I've just been fascinated by how it's going to eventually
unfold. I think a lot of people would feel the same way.
They're also a good team and they haven't played to their capabilities yet. So that's why I'm more drawn to them. See if they can fulfill their full potential. Anyway, I noticed just it started to sit with me that they're getting to overtime and they're losing.
Yep.
So then I checked, and sure enough, the stats back up what I felt.
How
in my
about
own
that?
Gut.
Right? You'd find the evidence. And
nine
it tells you,
overtime
guilty.
Losses, mm-hmm. So they get the loser point. Nine overtime losses leads the league. Well, they're tied with the San Jose Sharks, but I don't count the San Jose Sharks because they're not really a legitimate contender, and the Flames very much are. So the San Jose Sharks are just going to lose more games in general. So that's why I don't have them on the same level. But they got to figure it out. Daryl Sutter, man, you got to get 3-on-3 hockey. Are you not practicing this for 4 hours a day? I mean, you got to figure this out because those are points you're leaving on the board. You're battling LA and Seattle and Edmonton and Vegas in the Pacific, and you can't leave those single points out there. You can't. Not when you're... Are they not fast enough? Is that it?
This is completely on the players, because how can you not know? Daryl doesn't have to practice 3-on-3. Guys don't have to go out and practice. Every single 3-on-3 system is the same thing in overtime. You win the puck, you go back to your own zone, you set up if you can, and then you come away the other way.
But maybe getting some reps would help. 3-on-3 within the organization itself.
Fair enough. But I think 3-on-3 is one of the easiest things to teach, to practice. Now, is it one of the easiest things to execute?
Well, find one of the two open skaters on your team. Yeah, I imagine that's not that complicated.
So then what's the problem then? So are they not playing good defensive hockey 3-on-3? Because there's not a lot of defensive hockey playing 3-on-3. But are they not defensively sound?
Your strategy for 3-on-3. Don't give the puck away.
Okay.
And then when you're a defender and you have you're in the wrong spot of a 2-on-1, you decide you take the shot or you take the pass. That's it. That's all you can do. That's 3-on-3 hockey. That's why I can't stand it. There's no nuance to it. There's no complexity to it. But I'm getting off on. I don't want to drop the Clickhammer on 3-on-3 hockey because I've done enough of that. The Flames have to figure it out.
And when it comes to the extra point, which you can't stand, the loser point, all that stuff, they have 9 OT losses, correct? So that's 9 extra points that they do not have. You even put 5 on the record.
Yeah,
five
I would
extra
say
points.
Take 4 or 5 of them.
4 or 5, then you are looking at Calgary in second in that Pacific going into action tonight.
It
Seattle
matters.
Down to 3rd, Kings down to 4th, Edmonton down to 5. It does matter. It does. But it should be one of the easiest things to teach. 3-on-3, you've got 1,000 feet of ice in front of you. You know what I think the problem is too? They get too terrified to make a mistake. A lot of
Wouldn't
teams.
You? Yeah, I would be too.
But there's the old adage: play to win, don't play not to lose. And
I don't
if you
know.
Go into overtime, pardon me.
I don't know. Yeah, I think you look really stupid when you give it away because you tried something silly or risky.
But
honestly,
don't try something risky.
There's too much ice for 3-on-3. There is, and again, we didn't want to criticize the format. The Flames need to figure it out. You know who else needs to figure it out?
They can't.
The Arizona Coyotes.
Well, the only thing they're figuring out is how to get Connor Bedard. That's how they're trying.
There's no guarantee of that, though.
That I know there's no guarantee. They've lost 9 straight.
9 straight.
Okay, so we've been talking off and on since we've been doing this podcast. We've looked at the top teams, middle, whatever, at the bottom of the pack. And for the whole season, there has been Arizona down there. Anaheim's been down there. Columbus has been down there. Chicago's been down there. San Jose's been down there.
I think that's the four, though. I think San Jose is still a little notch above.
San Jose's on the outside, but those are the four.
Yeah.
Columbus, Chicago, Arizona, and Anaheim. Now Anaheim is taking this to a brand new level.
Arizona.
Arizona. Do you believe in the mentality that teams are purposely doing this to get the better shot at the number one pick? Do you think there is such thing as that? I don't agree either. This is just a really bad hockey team. And you know who I feel badly for? First of all, the whole fact that the Coyotes are still where they're at in the U.S. is mind-boggling to me. Arizona, the Coyotes as a franchise, they have had one of or the worst home attendance figures. I can't even count how long ago.
But it's about the television.
I understand. But you have nobody showing up to the games. Then you have to move to ASU, the Mullet Arena, which is fine. Small capacity, 5,000, I think. Is that what it is? 5,000?
It's 5,000, yeah.
And it's great. You play in front of a packed house, even if there's 100 people, but there's only 100 seats, you feel better.
You only need friends and family to show up.
Exactly.
And it's packed.
Yeah, you feel better. But now these fans are seeing, it's nothing. So I Gary Bettman and the rest of the, they've been adamant to not, for whatever reason or reasons, they're adamant to not get the Coyotes somewhere else. It's not working.
It's a television audience. We know exactly why. And also,
but hockey's a game. Ryan Payton, shouldn't have to do with just television.
They have a winning record at home. They do. They are actually entertaining their home fans. They just can't win on the road, or they can't win often on the road. And this 9-game losing streak is just absolutely horrible.
It's been awful.
Completely emblematic. Yeah. Last week, they were playing the Senators, and Clayton Keller, who is a hell of a hockey player, he is their star, I would say. Anybody else would say. He's a very good player playing for a not so great team. And just the frustration, completely emblematic of the situation, just cross checks. I think it was Brännström on Ottawa to the face neck area. He was fined. He should have been suspended. We're not going to get into that.
Why?
But there's no excuse for violence. You can't cross check. Hey, kids, don't ever cross check an opponent.
I'll get into that next week.
So, but you can appreciate his frustration. That's all I'm saying. And I feel sorry. I feel sorry for the players on that team who are just, for some reason, it's not working. I feel sorry for Vemelka. Actually, I think he's a good goaltender, and he's just getting peppered, man.
And he's probably going to be dealt. There's rumors that he's on.
He signed the extension, though. Yeah, really? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Winnipeg, Minnesota, Ottawa, San Jose, Pittsburgh, Chicago, Philly, Florida, Tampa. That is the 9 straight games that this team has watched. And then going into tonight, what, they take on Detroit? Yeah, they take on Detroit. So it could be 10. It could be 10. It's not good in Arizona. It has not been good in Columbus. It's not been good in Chicago. Is there a sadder team in the NHL outside of the Vancouver Canucks?
No, it hasn't been an easy year. And, the way we started and how it's gone. But at the same time, like I said, I think I was telling you last game, we're all professionals and you need to get yourself jacked up and come to the rink and, try to play to the best of your abilities. I mean, there's guys here in here that have 30, 40 games, and they need to be fighting for their spots, because I know that if we do continue to lose, no one's safe. So,
what do you think about that?
Well, Quinn Hughes doesn't sound like a very happy guy.
That's pretty evident.
Okay. Here's a rising star in the NHL. He's a young defenseman. He's one of the more talented players on that team. He's their most talented defenseman by a country mile.
By far.
And he's speaking during their foibles, because they keep on blowing leads and they're losing games and everything in Vancouver is a mess right now. And he's saying all the words that we're still trying, we're still getting paid to play, we're still professionals, we got to go out there. And you can't even see his face when he's saying this. Like, these are just the tone and the words.
You don't
words.
Need to.
He looks like he's on the verge of tears.
Yeah.
Honest to goodness. And I feel for these guys. I feel for the fans in Vancouver to a degree, because a lot of them are not terribly pleasant. But I feel for the pleasant fans in Vancouver. I feel for the team. And it is just a horrific mess right now.
Jim Rutherford addressed the media.
He did.
And it was one of, if not, at least in my mind, we talked about this too before we started the segment, one of the most honest, and you think it was maybe too honest, but one of the most honest, if not the most honest, press conference.
He was candid. He was very blunt.
From somebody in that position that I've ever heard and I've ever watched.
I don't know if he had much of a choice, because it is such a mess and there is so much.
Yeah.
The spotlight is so bright on the disaster in Vancouver right now, because they were supposed to be way better than they are right now. Everybody is disgruntled. That's a word that we throw around a lot in these situations. They are. I mean, Bo Horvat is disgruntled. Quinn Hughes is disgruntled. TJ Miller is downright angry. Yeah. I mean, he's visibly angry.
No, he is. He is. There is not the emotion with the body language, and the emotion of the team is awful. It's been terrible. It's been that way for a long time.
So what did we get out of Jim Rutherford's press conference?
Well, essentially one of the we can go on and on about, he talked about and Bruce Boudreau will get in a second, and talked about the team and all this type of stuff. But the one thing that stuck me was when he said we have to do major surgery. And then he said we're going to have to do some things that I didn't think we would. And then he took a bit of a slight pause, have to do when I first got here. He also put the blame on himself. He put, I'm not going to say all the blame, but he put some of the blame on himself that he didn't do, you don't agree with that, that he didn't do what he should have done when it comes to a job. And this happened, this was going on in the offseason. This was going on in the offseason. The team was not prepared. They weren't prepared to go into the season. They weren't prepared in the first week, and there's still not that situation. There's the Bo Horvat situation. We heard Quinn Hughes. The only one on the team who essentially, now Quinn Hughes, you got to give, you know, King's ransom if you want to end up dealing him, but that's not
going
to happen.
Quinn Hughes isn't going anywhere.
No, but Elias Pettersson was the only one essentially that was talked about a few weeks back that was untouchable. Everybody else could be if the price was right.
Everybody
I don't
else
agree with
is
that.
Really doing what they're supposed to be doing. But this whole thing about Jim Rutherford taking ownership, or at least partial ownership, of what's going wrong in Vancouver very much reeks to me of him saying in, you know, clouded terms, hey, you know what? I didn't expect them to suck as much as they did. So I, you know, I was more optimistic about them. So he's almost laying some weird type of blame on them as well for not being good enough. And that's why he didn't make moves earlier and he didn't sort other things out. That's how that sounds
to me.
What's
hard to understand with
that? It still sounds like he's still deferring.
What's hard to understand that is, why is it Jim Rutherford's fault then? That's what's hard to, if he had saying, he's not on the ice. He's the one making moves and whatever, bringing in whoever, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, it's the ones on the ice. So then that leads, another part of this big conversation was about the future of Bruce Boudreau. I said to you weeks ago, I didn't think one coach is going to be fired. I didn't, and not really on that anymore. I do think Bruce is going to be gone. The Rick Tocchet thing, we'll talk about in a second. But if you thought Quinn Hughes was unhappy, you mentioned JT Miller, he's unhappy. Bruce is unhappy. And here's what he had to say too, kind of about a day-to-day thing with him.
I just wake up every day and go to work until they tell me not to.
I just want to give the guy a hug.
I do too.
Honestly.
Can't you feel that wakes up every day going to work? And so you're
shrug
what?
Of the shoulders,
Vic. It's gonna come. It's gonna come. Can, it's gonna
so
happen.
Can they do it now? This is my point. It's now. Now we have dead coach walking in Vancouver. I think everybody realizes that. You brought up Rick Tocchet. There have been rumors that they have Rick Tocchet lying in wait, sign a contract, take over head coaching duties of the Vancouver right. Canucks. If that's going to happen, can we pull the Band-Aid off? Can we do this right now? So listen, give Bruce Boudreau, who is not only a great NHL coach, a proven one, but also seems like a pretty solid, good dude. Can we not just give him a position as a consultant? You're paying him anyway. You're going to pay him for a while as it is, at least until he moves to another team. So move him up into the office. He can consult. That saves face for everybody all around. And if you want to get, if Rick Tocchet's your guy, move him in there. But let's do this now. Let's do all of it now. Fire the coach. Move Horvat. Move whoever else you're going to move.
Oh, you can't do all of it now. I mean, what?
I'm not saying all on Tuesday, Ryan, but like, like in the next couple of weeks.
imagine all that happens.
We're going to get off the air here and go, whoa.
Yeah. So we'll be back on Wednesday with a brand new podcast all about Vancouver. Here's what I think is going to happen. The other thing that caught me about the discussion is when he said, Bruce is a friend of mine. I've never been in a situation with a GM, owner, whatever it is of a team. You hire a coach because he's a friend. You've got to separate that. I find it, okay, so to your point, if he is a friend, then you do him the honor and the respect by saying, you know what, Bruce, and I think they've had this discussion. Bruce knows it's coming. You do him the honor.
I just heard him. Of course he does.
I'm
showing up until they tell me not to.
You do him the honor of, okay, it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen by the end of this week. Monday, when we reconvene Monday, I do think Bruce will be gone by that point. He'll be gone before the deadline, but I don't think it's going to happen within the next few days. I don't. But it has to happen sooner than
later. I'm going to say before the All-Star break.
Okay.
But soon, for sure.
You feel for him. You
Me
really
too.
Do. And at the end of the day, you look back, and if things don't go right in any team, with any team, is it the head coach? I don't know, but you can't fire
23 skaters.
You can't get rid of the team.
Well, it's a lot harder to fire 23 players than it is one coach. So
can't get rid of the team. We'll step aside. We will return on Pucks in 7. We'll take a look to the week to come and end, of course, with Vic's Fantasy 7. Edmonton getting a big key to that offense and just whole team back. Ryan Payne, Victoria Manage. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Get us for a picture podcast, Amazon, Google, iHeart, Spotify, SiriusXM app as well, Stitcher, Pandora, We're on there. Just Google us and you will find us. We'll get to Vic's Fantasy 7 in just a second, as we always do. And she knows a heck of a lot more than I do. And she runs with it. And you guys should too, whatever she says. Week to come. So Monday was busy day, but Martin Luther King Day. So mm-hmm. that 13. So we're going basically.
It was fun. It was fun. I was able to watch a lot of the matinees.
I enjoy that. I enjoy that. So we go Tuesday to Sunday. And a couple of things. In, hey, so the Panthers are what since your prediction?
2-0, babies.
Here we go.
Hey, my babies.
Here we go.
2-0. So, okay. We participated in a roundtable on ESPN.com on the fantasy site. Not the fantasy site. Sorry, just the NHL site. Right. And my bold prediction, we all had to make a bold prediction. And mine was that the Florida Panthers would still make the playoffs. And at the time, they were one game below 500. Now they're one game above 500. Right. And I will tell you, Twitter had a time with it. Mostly from Panthers fans.
What type of time, Vic?
Mostly from Panthers fans. And I swear you would have, Larry, my husband, was boggled by this. He's like, but you're saying something nice. You're saying they're going to make the playoffs. Right. And Panthers fans are just all over me like white on rice. They just couldn't handle it.
Couldn't get it.
No, the fact that I'm saying that their team is good enough to make, you don't know when, right. Anyways,
right.
You know, peppered with misogyny. My favorite was girl hockey babble trash. That was a comment. Girl hockey babble trash.
So GHBT.
It has some poetry to it.
It does. GHBT. Just got GHBT.
Girl hockey babble trash. Yeah. So, first of all, girl. Okay. Somebody needs to check my birth certificate, right. But cool.
Carry on.
Just the rest of it.
Carry
but
on.
Since then,
uh-huh.
So even though I'm saying nice things about it, Panthers fans were having none of it whatsoever. Holy Henrietta. 2-0 though. And Tuesday night, they are visiting the Maple Leafs. That's going to be a super tough test. I'm not expecting them to escape with the win in that one, but I think they're going to give them a harder time. They're looking, those last two games looked more cohesive. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And for the Leafs, they've kind of gone back and forth with lots of wins, 2 in a row. They've lost to Boston and Detroit. They had 3 wins before that. Then they lost 2 in a row. Then they had 1 win and lost. So it's
Matthews is banged up. Austin Matthews is not his best self, which I think Toronto fans should be a little concerned about. So I think it's going to be an interesting one between the Panthers and Toronto on Tuesday night for sure. And again, Florida just looks a little bit better.
And this is great news. The Kraken are back on the road. This is fantastic. This is the best news they've had all week.
Since the weekend.
Since the weekend. They're right. Back on the road. They're back in Edmonton, and you'll get to Evander Kane, too, in your Fantasy 7. McCain's coming back. And
we think so. I don't think that's 100%. We believe Evander Kane is going to be back tonight, and of course, Seattle on the road. So.
And so if he does come back, what is, because they got to look at the cap situation in Edmonton, they're expected to play as Kyler Yamamoto on LTIR. He'd be eligible to come back after the break. But he's been out since November the 8th. Evander Kane has. November the 8th with that cut, that freak accident, missed 31 games. And you look too, he had 13 points in 14 games this season.
He scores.
Yeah, he does.
And they need him back. And Edmonton's going to be in better shape because of it for sure. Absolutely. Seattle and Edmonton have played each other twice already. Edmonton has 9 total goals against Seattle, and Seattle has 7 total goals against the Oilers. So again, that's going to be... that match is going to slap, as the kids say.
What?
They do. They say that. I've heard
they
it.
Do. Okay. We were joking, too, that they should birthday a pipe at the climate pledge.
I'm sure there's people to pay to do that. I'm sure there
so
is.
So that the Kraken just continue on the road for the rest of the year. Why not? Wednesday, Colorado, Calgary, Tampa, Vancouver. We'll get to Tampa, Vancouver in a second, but Colorado, we talked about
them. I mean, these are two teams that just need to win right now. They're two teams that
are
on the outside looking in, not necessarily on the outside looking in of a playoff spot, but definitely cuspish. And they're two teams that should be playing better than they have. So I think it's an interesting matchup to see. Nathan MacKinnon threw the Avalanche on his back on Monday.
Yep.
We see if he can do it again. And Calgary, they're playing some better hockey now, and they're contending in games better, I should say. So that one intrigues me on Wednesday.
And, you know, the Avalanche still have the injuries, right? Landeskog, nowhere near close to coming back. Josh Manson, injured reserve, Bowen Byram, they're all on IR, right? And the latter two making more progress than Landeskog with that knee. But, and again, the number two center kind of thing. But this is a big thing. And again, I saw them in Calgary as well. They almost blew that game against the Dallas Stars. But certainly it's a big one for that. Steven Stamkos. So I looked at this here. And Stammer is still stuck at 499. So he had his 499th on January 12th against Vancouver. He had 498 December 31st against one of the top teams, Arizona, to close out the calendar year. And then he had 497 against Seattle on December 13th. So he is still stuck. He has gone 1-2. So this will be the third game. But there's a huge stretch, though, between the end of December to the 12th of January, four games or so, where he didn't get...
Does he score his 500th in Vancouver on Wednesday? He scored against his last one against Vancouver.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
So it's finally done this week?
It's going to be
Can
done.
Can we say that for sure?
It's going to be done. And what about Bruce? Is he gone on Wednesday if they lose?
If they get pumped 7-1, I don't know how you keep him another day. So if they're in it and they lose 4-3 in overtime, I think maybe he sees the weekend, but otherwise I'm not so sure.
So Stammer watch and Bruce watch.
That's
on Wednesday.
Tampa's in Vancouver.
Yeah. Thursday, Boston and the Rangers. That just has the makings of being great.
That's just going to be a great game. I'm imagining it's going to be Ullmark versus Shesterkin. It's at Madison Square Garden. I'm watching it. It's just going to be a great game. I'm going to guess 3-2, 2-1. It's not, I don't think that's going to be high scoring at all. I think it's going to be
interesting. So it's going to be a goaltending battle.
But an entertaining one.
An entertaining one. Boston, again, 34-5-4, incredible, 72 points. The Rangers, they are 25-13-7. They have 57 points. Two of the best goalies, though, of course, in the NHL. Winnipeg, Toronto as well. So recently, Toronto played Boston, and Boston found a way yet again to beat them. I know it's not the playoffs, but they came back to beat them. I think Matt Grizzlick scored late in that game for the Boston Bruins. Brad Marchand had this to say about the Maple Leafs.
They've had such a great team for so long, and they just haven't been able to kind of get over that hump. But, you know, it's a matter of time for them where they're going to make a really good push and they're going to go deep. They're just too talented.
So you and I have differing opinions on this. Yes, okay, hold on. Genuine.
He's being complimentary for real.
Yes.
He's not being disingenuous at all.
No, I know, but my issue with that, not an issue, that's not the right word. My thing, let's just say
your interpretation of it.
Interpretation is it of it, of yes, very genuine, good hockey team. His mood is the way he was saying it was really sweet. It was nice. It was like they were having dinner and hey, you know what?
So cuddly that
the way the Leafs are. Come here, Brad. Just don't lick me.
Right.
Right. But I think, so, okay, we'll get to what do you think is that. But I think that it's the same song and dance. What else is he going to do? He probably said that 2 years ago. He probably said that 3, 4, 5, 6. Last year, they're a good team. But, you know, they just haven't found a way
to get... So you think he's emphasizing the fact they haven't got it done?
Yes.
As opposed to
the
prospect of them eventually getting it done?
I absolutely think he's doing that because they're a good team. They've got it done. Toronto's a good team again, and they're not going to get it done. And Boston's going to knock them out
again. They're not going to get it done again because they haven't got it done yet.
That's what I think.
I think you're more cynical.
That's the first thing I thought about when I heard it. I said, Brad.
More cynical than I am. I still think that it was relatively programmed. First of all, the Toronto Maple Leafs are a good hockey team. He can't say they suck.
Of course they are.
So he has to say something nice, but it was really very heartfelt. I was a bit moved. I thought he said that at the beginning of the hockey thing because they hadn't played yet, and I think he wanted to get in their heads a little bit. And they ended up winning the game. Boston, I believe, won 4-3.
Yeah.
So I think he's saying that he's pumping them up, pumping their tires as an old goaltender teammate of his used to say.
I think there's a lot more to that. I really do.
So I think he wanted to pump their tires a little bit ahead of the game and put them in a weird spot to try and take some sort of advantage. But I also think he was just being genuine. I think when he said, I think this team is going to eventually make it happen, I believed him.
Panthers and... we'll see. And you know what? We're going to see probably in the first round. We'll see. Whatever happens with Toronto, maybe they'll meet again. Who knows? Panthers, Montreal, just quick. We talked a bit about them too. The Panthers in Toronto on Tuesday.
Florida gets pumped by Toronto. They got to beat Montreal later on this week. They have to. So
Saturday, one of the teams I've been rooting for and I'm pulling for, the Buffalo Sabres, whether it's this year, next year, the year after, whatever it is, I think they're trending. They're on the right track. They're still a little bit of ways away, maybe a lot. But anyway, Anaheim, Buffalo on Saturday. I mean, it's the Anaheim Ducks. Buffalo should win this game.
It's the Anaheim Ducks on the road.
Buffalo should.
They have four road wins. Buffalo has to turn things around. They fumbled a little bit recently.
Yeah.
Sabres have fumbled a little bit recently, and they're not the best at home. They haven't enjoyed as much success at home, which still I don't quite understand. I don't know if we maybe put too much emphasis on where the wins are happening, but I do believe there is something to it. So they need to turn things around. They have to take advantage of that situation because Anaheim is not getting any better anytime soon.
No, they're not. Vegas and Washington, that has the makings of a good one. Bigger for the Capitals, I think. But you look at Vegas and you talk about home records, 13-12.
I'm starting to worry about the Golden Knights a little bit. The loss of Mark Stone is huge.
Yeah, it is.
heartbeat of that team. You can say whatever you want about Jonathan Marchessault and Jack Eichel and whoever else. Mark Stone has been a big difference maker this year. And also just with everything he's been through injury wise in the last two, three seasons, for him to actually play healthy this year. And they're saying this isn't a new injury, which is nice to hear. They are expecting him back, but he is week to week.
Right.
And they got shut out for the first time this season without him yesterday. And on Monday, I should say.
It's a big loss.
I think there's something to that. I don't think that's a coincidence at all. Yeah.
No, I agree. We'll see how resilient.
So absolutely, Washington will be a big test.
Yeah, they will. And Pittsburgh, New Jersey, we like that one on Sunday. You look at the Devils too, about where their week is going to be by the time they get to that point. They're in Seattle. That game's coming up on Thursday. And then, of course, they have the Penguins, as we just said. They're home to the Pittsburgh
Penguins.
Letang's
back for that one. Do we know that? Do we expect him to be back?
Yes.
Okay.
We do.
That'll help.
Five in a row for the Devils. Just when you thought they may be slipping a tiny bit, they're getting back. And
yeah, but New Jersey's back at home facing the Penguins in that one. They're not nearly as good at home for some mind-boggling reason.
It's been so bizarre. That's going to be the huge storyline at the end of the year. Why can't some teams win at home? And why
do you remember this? Do you remember a disparity as striking as this in the past?
No, I don't. No, I don't. No.
There just seems to be the patterns sometimes distinct.
Sometimes you can have 14-9-1 at home, 14-10-1 at home, and then you have, 15-10-1 on the road. So that's fine. But when there's such a gap, it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
It feels bizarre. I wonder if we're making too much of it, and I don't think we are. Maybe.
Fantasy 7, Evander Kane.
Well, he's back. If he's not back on Tuesday, then he's definitely going to be back towards the end of the week. Mind-bogglingly, in ESPN.com fantasy leagues, he's available in 20%. I find that outstanding.
20%.
Check your league to see if he's available and grab him if he is, please.
That's your plea.
Yes, it drives me. I'm like, why aren't players like this ever available in my leagues? That's my question, because they're not. Eli Tolvanen is a big reason with the Seattle Kraken. They're enjoying some success right now. Came over from Nashville, didn't play in Nashville. Now he's scoring goals with the Kraken, and he's scoring them with oomph. So pick up Eli Tolvanen. He's overwhelmingly available, probably in your league. Same goes for Juuso Parsonen.
Yep.
Nashville Predators. So back to the Nashville Predators, who don't miss Eli Tolvanen nearly as much because now they got a Parsonen doing some things. Whatever line he plays on, he is scoring. You might not even know these names because they're sleepers, and we love sleepers in fantasy.
Right?
So you got to look at what they're doing, especially in deeper leagues and daily fantasy play.
That's
where you want to look at
these
guys. You're not, if you have a 8-team league, you're not picking them up. Not much is going well with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Kirill Marchenko is. He's
scoring
goals.
That's an understatement.
They have this young guy coming up scoring some goals. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is.
Another DFS selection if you want to throw a Blue Jacket into your lineup. Of course, there's risk there. Gabriel Vilardi with the Los Angeles Kings. The Kings are funny. Every week somebody's doing something.
Yeah,
and he's doing something
that's
right
true.
Now. And that is a sign of a good, healthy club as well, where people step up when other players take a little bit of a step back. And he's the one who's stepping up right now. He's playing with Kevin Fiala, which is not a bad line mate to have.
Helps.
It certainly does. And he's getting it done right now. He's going to be a great player for a long time. So he might be somebody you pick up no matter what. Two goalies to look at. Mm-hmm. This particular week, both of them are now part of a tandem, a real tandem. They're not backups anymore. I think we could say Philip Gustafsson with the Minnesota Wild is playing just as often as Marc-Andre Fleury, and he's winning more, and he's available way more than the Flower
Interesting.
Is. And look at Boston. We all had Linus Ullmark penciled in for the Vezina. Well, hold on a second. I'm not saying that he isn't playing well. He is, but so is Jeremy Swayman. Jeremy Swayman is now playing nearly as much as Linus is in Boston, and he's also winning games, partly because the Bruins are excellent and partly because he's no slouch himself.
Yeah, right. 17 games played for Swayman, 10-3-3, 235 goals against, save percentage 9-12.
And he's playing more now.
He's playing more now.
So this is actionable now. And he might be available in your league for real.
And I've said this so often, if you can get a 1A, 1B, again, this isn't a complete 1A, 1B, because a complete 1A, 1B is 41 each games when it comes to goalies. That's not what this is. But when you have the confidence in a backup like Swayman is, Ullmark is putting a Vezina-like season in already. That's pretty good for that team.
But it's a different relationship. You got Ottinger and Wedgwood in Dallas, and it's not the same. Ottinger's going to play more often than not.
Right.
But they have the confidence in Boston to roll either of these guys out any night, and they're going to save Ullmark a lot for the postseason, which is bad news for every other team in the Eastern Conference. And it's working for them. So play Jeremy Swayman. He's available overwhelmingly in ESPN.com leagues right now.
Get on it. Vic knows her stuff. Fantasy 7, Kane all the way down to Swayman. Going to be a fun week. Always fun doing this. We appreciate the listen, folks. We're out of time. You can follow us again on Twitter at RyanPayton75, at Victoria Mattiash, and catch us on all the available podcast outlets and Google us if you need to. You're just waiting to say something.
Girl hockey babble trash. That's all I got.
GHBT. Don't forget it. On behalf of Vic, I'm Ryan. We'll talk next week.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.